at me, completely impassive, and doesn't respond. A stark silence stretches between us. I reach over to my glass of water and take a welcome sip, trying to bring my erratic heart rate under control. "Ryan caught Jack!" I try a different tack, and I place my glass beside his on the bedside table.
"I know,"
he says icily. Of course he knows. "Are you going to be monosyllabic for long?" His eyebrows move fractionally, registering his surprise as if he hadn't expected this question.
"Yes,"
he says finally.
"Oh, okay. What to do?"
Defense, the best form of attack. "I'm sorry I stayed out."
"Are you?"
"No," I mutter after a pause, because it's true.
"Why say it, then?"
"Because I don't want you to be mad at me." He sighs heavily, as if he's been holding this tension for 1,000 hours, and runs his hand through his hair. He looks beautiful. Mad, but beautiful. I drink him in. Christian's back. Angry, but in one piece. "I think Detective Clark wants to talk to you."
"I'm sure he does."
"Christian, please."
"Please what?"
"Don't be so cold." His eyebrows rise in surprise once more.
"Anastasia, cold is not what I'm feeling at the moment. I'm burning, burning with rage. I don't know how to deal with these."
He waves his hand, searching for the word.
"Feelings."
His tone is bitter. Oh, shit. His honesty disarms me. All I want to do is crawl into his lap. It's all I've wanted to do since I came home last night. To hell with this. I move, taking him by surprise and climbing awkwardly into his lap, where I curl up. He doesn't push me away, which is what I'd feared. After a beat, he folds his arms around me and buries his nose in my hair. He smells of whiskey. How much did he drink? He smells of body wash, too. He smells of Christian. I wrap my arms around his neck and nuzzle his throat, and he sighs once more, deeply this time.
"Oh, Mrs. Gray, what am I going to do with you?"
He kisses the top of my head. I close my eyes, relishing the contact with him. "How much have you had to drink?" He stills.
"Why?"
"You don't normally drink hard liquor."
"This is my second glass. I've had a trying night, Anastasia. Give a man a break."
I smile. "If you insist, Mr. Gray." I breathe into his neck. "You smell heavenly. I slept on your side of the bed because your pillow smells of you." He nuzzles my hair.
"Did you now? I wondered why you were on this side. I'm still mad at you."
"I know." His hand rhythmically strokes my back. "And I'm mad at you," I whisper. He pauses.
"And what, pray, have I done to deserve your ire?"
"I'll tell you later when you're no longer burning with rage." I kiss his throat. He closes his eyes and leans into my kiss, but makes no move to kiss me back. His arms tighten around me, squeezing me.
"When I think of what might have happened."
His voice is barely a whisper. Broken. Raw. "I'm okay."
"Oh, Anna."
It's almost a sob. "I'm okay. We're all okay. A bit shaken, but Gail is fine, Ryan is fine, and Jack is gone." He shakes his head.
"No thanks to you,"
he mutters.
"What?"
I lean back and glare at him. "What do you mean?"
"I don't want to argue about it right now, Anna."
I blink. Well, maybe I do. But I decide against it. At least he's talking to me. I nestle into him once more. His fingers move to my hair and start playing with it.
"I want to punish you,"
he whispers.
"Really beat the shit out of you,"
he adds. My heart leaps into my mouth.
Fuck.
I know. I whisper as my scalp prickles.
Maybe I will.
I hope not. He hugs me tighter.
Anna, 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 you'd try the patience of a saint.
I could accuse you of many things, Mr. Gray, but being a saint isn't one of them. Finally, I am blessed with his reluctant chuckle.
Fair point well made as ever, Mrs. Gray.
He kisses my forehead and shifts.
Back to bed. You had a late night, too.
He moves quickly, picking me up and depositing me back on the bed. Lie down with me?
No. I have things to do.
He reaches down and collects the glass.
Go back to sleep. I'll wake you in a couple of hours.
Are you still mad at me?
Yes.
I'll go back to sleep, then.
Good.
He pulls the duvet over me and kisses my forehead once more.
Sleep.
And because I'm so groggy from the night before, relieved that he's back, and emotionally fatigued by our early morning encounter, I do exactly as I'm told. As I drift off, I'm curious, though grateful, given the nasty taste in my mouth, to know why he hasn't deployed his usual coping mechanism and leaped on me to have his wicked way.
There's some orange juice for you here, Christian says,
and my eyes flutter open again. I have had the most restful 2 hours of sleep I can remember, and I wake refreshed, my head no longer throbbing. The orange juice is a welcome sight, as is my husband. He's in his sweats, and I'm momentarily zapped back to the Heathman Hotel and the first time I ever woke up with him. His gray tank top is damp with his sweat. Either he's been working out in the basement gym, or he's been for a run. But he shouldn't look this good after a workout.
I'm going to take a shower,
he murmurs, and disappears into the bathroom. I frown. He's still distant. He's either distracted by all that's happened, or still mad, or what? I sit up and reach for the orange juice, drinking it down too quickly. It's delicious, ice cold, and it makes my mouth a much better place. I clamber out of bed, anxious to close the distance, real and metaphysical, between my husband and me. I glance quickly at the alarm. It's 8 o'clock. I strip off Christian's t-shirt and follow him into the bathroom. He is in the shower, washing his hair, and I don't hesitate. I slip in behind him, and he stiffens the moment I wrap my arms around him, my front to his wet, muscular back. I ignore his reaction, holding him tightly, and press my cheek flat against him, closing my eyes. After a moment, he shifts so we are both under the cascade of hot water and carries on washing his hair. I let the water wash over me as I cradle the man I love. I think of all the times he's fucked me and all the times he's made love to me in here. I frown. He's never been this quiet. Turning my head, I start to trail kisses across his back. His body stiffens again.
Anna?
He warns. My hands travel slowly down over his taut stomach to his belly. He places both his hands on mine and brings them to an abrupt halt. He shakes his head.
Don't,
he warns. I release him immediately. He's saying no? My mind goes into free fall. Has this ever happened before? My subconscious shakes her head, her lips pursed. She glares at me over her half-moon glasses, wearing her, "You've really fucked up this time," look. I feel like I've been slapped, hard, rejected. And a lifetime of insecurity spawns the ugly thought that he doesn't want me anymore. I gasp as the pain sears through me. Christian turns, and I'm relieved to see he's not completely oblivious to my charms. Grasping my chin, he tilts my head back, and I find myself gazing into his wary gray eyes.
I'm still fucking mad at you,
he says, his voice quiet and serious. Shit. Leaning down, he rests his forehead against mine, closing his eyes. I reach up and caress his face. Don't be mad at me, please. I think you're overreacting, I whisper. He straightens, blanching. My hand falls free to my side.
Overreacting? He snarls. Some fucking lunatic gets into my apartment to kidnap my wife, and you think I'm overreacting?
The restrained menace in his voice is frightening, and his eyes blaze as he stares at me as if I'm the fucking lunatic. No, that's not what I was referring to. I thought this was about me staying out. He closes his eyes once more as if in pain and shakes his head. Christian, I wasn't here. I try to appease and reassure him.
I know, he whispers, opening his eyes. And all because you can't follow a simple fucking request.
His tone is bitter, and it's my turn to blanch.
I don't want to discuss this now, in the shower. I am still fucking mad at you, Anastasia. You're making me question my judgment.
He turns and promptly leaves the shower, grabbing a towel on the way and stalking out of the bathroom, leaving me bereft and chilled under the hot water. Crap, crap, crap. Then the significance of what he's just said dawns on me. Kidnap? Fuck. Jack wanted to kidnap me? I recall the duct tape and not wanting to think too deeply about why Jack had it. Does Christian have more information? Hurriedly, I wash myself, then shampoo and rinse my hair. I want to know. I need to know. I am not going to let him keep me in the dark about this. Christian's not in the bedroom when I come out. Jeez, he dresses quickly. I do the same, throwing on my favorite plum dress and black sandals, and I'm conscious that I've chosen this outfit because Christian likes it. I vigorously towel dry my hair, then braid it and wind it into a bun. Fitting diamond studs into my ears, I dash to the bathroom to apply a little mascara and glance at myself in the mirror. I'm pale. I'm always pale. I take a deep, steadying breath. I need to face the consequences of my rash decision to actually enjoy myself with my friend. I sigh, knowing that Christian won't see it that way. Christian is nowhere to be seen in the great room. Mrs. Jones is busying herself in the kitchen. Good morning, Anna, she says sweetly. Morning. I smile broadly at her. I am Anna again. Tea? Please. Anything to eat? Please. I'd like an omelet this morning. With mushrooms and spinach? And cheese. Coming up. Where's Christian? Mr. Gray's in his study. Has he had breakfast? I glance at the two places set on the breakfast bar. No, ma'am. Thanks. Christian is on the phone, dressed in a white shirt with no tie, looking every bit the relaxed CEO. How deceptive appearances can be. Perhaps he's not going into the office after all. He glances up when I appear in the doorway but shakes his head at me, indicating that I am not welcome. Shit. I turn and wander dejectedly back to the breakfast bar. Taylor appears, snappily dressed in a somber suit, looking like he's had 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep. Morning, Taylor, I murmur, trying to gauge his mood and see if he'll offer me any visual cues about what has been going on.
Good morning, Mrs. Gray,
he replies, and I hear the sympathy in those four words. I smile compassionately back at him, knowing he had to endure an angry, frustrated Christian returning to Seattle way ahead of schedule. How was the flight? I dare to ask.
Long, Mrs. Gray.
His brevity speaks volumes.
May I ask how you are?
He adds, his tone softening. I'm good. He nods.
If you'll excuse me.
He heads toward Christian's study. Taylor's allowed in, but not me. Here you go. Mrs. Jones places my breakfast in front of me. My appetite has vanished, but I eat anyway, not wishing to offend her. By the time I've finished what I can of my breakfast, Christian has still not emerged from his study. Is he avoiding me? Thanks, Mrs. Jones, I murmur, sliding off the bar stool and making my way to the bathroom to clean my teeth. As I brush them, I'm reminded of Christian's sulk over the wedding vows. He holed up in his study then, too. Is that what this is? Him sulking? I shudder as I recall his subsequent nightmare. Will that happen again? We really need to talk. I need to know about Jack and about the increased security for the Greys. All the details that have been kept from me, but not from Kate. Obviously, Elliot talks to her. I glance at my watch. It's 8:50. I'm late for work. I finish brushing my teeth, apply a little lip gloss, grab my lightweight black jacket, and head back to the great room. I am relieved to see Christian there, eating his breakfast.
You're going?
He says when he sees me. To work? Yes, of course. Bravely, I walk toward him and rest my hands on the edge of the breakfast bar. He gazes at me blankly. Christian, we've hardly been back a week. I have to go to work.
But...
He stops and rakes his hand through his hair. Mrs. Jones walks quietly out of the room. Discreet, Gail. Discreet. I know we have a great deal to talk about. Perhaps if you've calmed down, we can do it this evening. His mouth pops open with dismay.
Calmed down?
His voice is eerily soft. I flush. You know what I mean.
No, Anastasia, I don't know what you mean.
I don't want to fight. I was coming to ask you if I could take my car.
No, you can't.
He snaps. Okay. I acquiesce immediately. He blinks. He was obviously expecting a fight.
Prescott will accompany you.
His tone is slightly less belligerent.
Damn it, not Prescott.
I want to pout and protest, but decide against it. Surely now that Jack has been caught, we can cut back on our security. I remember my mom's words of wisdom talk the day before my wedding. Anna, honey, you really have to choose your battles. It'll be the same with your kids when you have them. Well, at least he's letting me go to work. Okay, I mutter. And because I don't want to leave him like this, with so much unresolved and so much tension between us, I step tentatively toward him. He stiffens, his eyes widening, and for a moment he looks so vulnerable it pulls at some deep, dark place in my heart. Oh, Christian, I'm so sorry. I kiss him chastely on the side of his mouth. He closes his eyes as if relishing my touch.
Don't hate me, I whisper.
He grabs my hand.
I don't hate you.
You haven't kissed me, I whisper. He eyes me suspiciously.
I know,
he mutters. I'm desperate to ask him why, but I'm not sure I want to know the answer. Abruptly, he stands and grabs my face between his hands, and, in a flash, his lips are hard on mine. I gasp with surprise, inadvertently granting his tongue access. He takes full advantage, invading my mouth, claiming me, and just as I'm beginning to respond, he releases me, his breath quickening.
Taylor will take you and Prescott to SIP,
he says, his eyes flaring with need.
Taylor!
He calls. I flush, trying to recover some composure.
Sir?
Taylor is standing in the doorway.
Tell Prescott Mrs. Gray is going to work. Can you drive them, please?
Certainly.
Turning on his heel, Taylor disappears.
If you could try to stay out of trouble today, I would appreciate it.
Christian mutters. I'll see what I can do. I smile sweetly. A reluctant half-smile tugs at Christian's lips, but he doesn't give in to it.
I'll see you later, then,
he says coolly. Laters, I whisper. Prescott and I take the service elevator down to the basement garage in order to avoid the media outside. Jack's arrest and the fact that he was apprehended in our apartment are now public knowledge. As I settle into the Audi, I wonder if there will be more paparazzi waiting at SIP like the day our engagement was announced. We drive a while in silence, until I remember to call first Ray and then my mom to reassure them that Christian and I are safe. Mercifully, both calls are short, and I hang up just as we arrive outside SIP. As I feared, there's a small crowd of reporters and photographers lying in wait. They turn as one, looking expectantly at the Audi.
"Are you sure you want to do this, Mrs. Gray?"
Taylor asks. Part of me just wants to go home, but that means spending the day with Mr. Burning Rage. I hope that with a little time, he will gain some perspective. Jack is in police custody, so 50 should be happy. But he's not. Part of me understands why. Too much of this is out of his control, including me. But I don't have time to think about this now. Take me around to the delivery entrance, please, Taylor.
Yes, ma'am.
It's 1 o'clock, and I've managed to immerse myself in work all morning. There's a knock, and Elizabeth pops her head around the door.
Can I have a moment?
She asks brightly.
Sure,
I mutter, surprised at her unscheduled visit. She enters and sits down, tossing her long black hair over her shoulder.
I just wanted to check you're okay. Roach asked me to pay you a visit,
she adds hurriedly, as her face reddens.
I mean, with all that went on last night.
Jack Hyde's arrest is all over the newspaper, but no one seems to have made the connection yet with the fire at GEH.
I'm fine, I answer, trying not to think too deeply about how I feel. Jack wanted to harm me.
Well, that's not news. He's tried before. It's Christian I'm more concerned about. I glance quickly at my email. There's still nothing from him. I don't know if I were to send him an email, whether I'd just be provoking Mr. Burning Rage further.
Good, Elizabeth answers, and her smile actually touches her eyes for a change. If there's anything I can do, anything you need, let me know.
Will do.
Elizabeth stands. I know how busy you are, Anna. I'll let you get back to it.
Thanks. That has to have been the briefest, most pointless meeting in the Western Hemisphere today. Why did Roach send her here? Perhaps he's worried, given I'm his boss's wife? I shake off the dark thoughts and reach for my BlackBerry in the hope that there might be a message from Christian. As I do, my work email pings.
From Christian Gray. Subject, statement. Date, August 26, 2011, 1304. To Anastasia Gray.
Anastasia, Detective Clark will be visiting your office today at 3 p.m. to take your statement. I have insisted that he should come to you, as I don't want you going to the police station.
Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc.
I gaze at his email for a full 5 minutes, trying to think of a light and witty response to lift his mood. I draw a complete blank, and opt for brevity instead.
From Anastasia Gray, subject, statement, date, August 26th, 2011, 1312, to Christian Gray.
Okay, A, X.
Anastasia Gray, editor, S.I.P.
I stare at the screen for another 5 minutes, anxious for his response, but there's nothing. Christian is not in the mood to play today. I sit back. Can I blame him? My poor 50 was probably frantic back in the early hours of this morning. Then a thought occurs to me. He was in his tux when I woke this morning. What time did he decide to come back from New York? He normally leaves functions between 10 and 11. Last night at that hour, I was still at large with Kate. Did Christian come home because I was out, or because of the Jack incident? If he left because I was out having a good time, he would have had no idea about Jack, about the police, nothing, until he landed in Seattle. It's suddenly very important to me to find out. If Christian came back merely because I was out, then he was overreacting. My subconscious sucks her teeth, wearing her harpy face. Okay, I'm glad he's back, so maybe it's irrelevant. But still, Christian must have had one hell of a shock when he landed. No wonder he's so confused today. His earlier words come back to me. I am still fucking mad at you, Anastasia.
You're making me question my judgment. I have to know. Did he come back because of Cocktailgate or because of the fucking lunatic? From Anastasia Gray. Subject, your flight. Date, August 26th, 2011. 13:24. To Christian Gray. What time did you decide to come back to Seattle yesterday? Anastasia Gray. Editor, S.I.P. From Christian Gray. Subject, your flight. Date, August 26th, 2011. 13:26. To Anastasia Gray.
Why?
Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. From Anastasia Gray. Subject, your flight. Date, August 26th, 2011. 13:29. To Christian Gray. Call it curiosity. Anastasia Gray, editor, S.I.P. From Christian Gray. Subject, your flight. Date, August 26th, 2011. 13:32. To Anastasia Gray.
Curiosity killed the cat.
Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. From Anastasia Gray. Subject, huh? Date, August 26th, 2011, 13:35. To Christian Gray. What is that oblique reference to? Another threat? You know where I am going with this, don't you? Did you decide to return because I went out for a drink with my friend after you asked me not to, or did you return because a madman was in your apartment? Anastasia Gray, editor, S.I.P. I stare at my screen. There is no response. I glance at the clock on my computer. 1:45 and still no response. From Anastasia Gray. Subject, here's the thing. Date, August 26th, 2011, 13:56. To Christian Gray. I will take your silence as an admission that you did indeed return to Seattle because I changed my mind. I am an adult female and went for a drink with my friend. I did not understand the security ramifications of changing my mind because you never tell me anything. I found out from Kate that security has, in fact, been stepped up for all the Grays, not just us. I think you generally overreact where my safety is concerned, and I understand why, but you're like the boy crying wolf. I never have a clue about what is a real concern or merely something that is perceived as a concern by you. I had two of the security detail with me. I thought both Kate and I would be safe. Fact is, we were safer in that bar than at the apartment. Had I been fully informed of the situation, I would have taken a different course of action. I understand your concerns are something to do with material that was on Jack's computer here, or so Kate believes. Do you know how annoying it is to find out my best friend knows more about what's going on with you than I do? And I am your wife. So are you going to tell me? Or will you continue to treat me like a child, guaranteeing that I continue to behave like one? You are not the only one who is fucking pissed, okay? Anna. Anastasia Gray. Editor, S.I.P. I hit send. There. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it, Gray. I take a deep breath. I have worked myself up into quite a rage. Here I was, feeling sorry and guilty for behaving badly. Well, no longer. From Christian Gray. Subject, here's the thing. Date, August 26th, 2011. 13:59. To Anastasia Gray.
As ever, Mrs. Gray, you are forthright and challenging in email. Perhaps we can discuss this when you get home to our apartment. You should watch your language. I am still fucking pissed, too.
Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. Watch my language? I scowl at my computer, realizing this is getting me nowhere. I don't respond, but pick up a manuscript recently received from a promising new author and begin to read. My meeting with Detective Clark is uneventful. He is less growly than the night before, maybe because he's managed some sleep, or maybe he just prefers working during the day.
Thank you for your statement, Mrs. Gray.
You're welcome, Detective. Is Hyde in police custody yet?
Yes, ma'am. He was released from the hospital earlier this morning. With what he's charged with, he should be with us for a while.
He smiles, his dark eyes crinkling in the corners. Good. This has been an anxious time for my husband and me.
I spoke at length with Mr. Gray this morning. He's very relieved. Interesting man, your husband.
You have no idea. Yes, I think so. I offer him a polite smile, and he knows he's being dismissed.
If you think of anything, you can call me. Here's my card.
He wrestles a card out of his wallet and hands it to me. Thank you, Detective. I'll do that.
Good day to you, Mrs. Gray.
Good day. As he leaves, I wonder exactly what Hyde has been charged with. No doubt Christian won't tell me. I purse my lips. We ride in silence to Escala. Sawyer is driving this time, Prescott at his side, and my heart grows heavier and heavier as we head back. I know Christian and I are going to have an almighty fight, and I don't know if I have the energy. As I ride in the elevator from the garage with Prescott beside me, I try to marshal my thoughts. What do I want to say? I think I said it all in my email. Perhaps he'll give me some answers. I hope so. I can't help my nerves. My heart is pounding, my mouth is dry, and my palms are sweaty. I don't want to fight. But sometimes he's so difficult, and I need to stand my ground. The elevator doors slide open, revealing the foyer, and it's once more neat and tidy. The table is upright, and a new vase is in place with a gorgeous array of pale pink and white peonies. I quickly check the paintings as we wander through. The Madonnas all look to be intact. The broken foyer door is fixed and operational once more, and Prescott kindly opens it for me. She's been so quiet today. I think I prefer her this way. I drop my briefcase in the hall and head into the great room. I stop. Holy fuck.
Good evening, Mrs. Gray.
Christian says softly. He's standing by the piano, dressed in a tight black t-shirt and jeans. Those jeans. The ones he wore in the playroom. Oh, my. They are overwashed pale blue denim, snug, ripped at the knee, and hot. He saunters over to me, his feet bare, the top button of the jeans undone, his smoldering eyes never leaving mine.
Good to have you home. I've been waiting for you.
Chapter 11. Have you now? I whisper. My mouth goes drier still, my heart pounding in my chest. Why is he dressed like this? What does it mean? Is he still sulking?
I have.
His voice is kitten soft, but he's smirking as he strolls closer to me. He looks hot, his jeans hanging that way from his hips. Oh, no. I'm not going to be distracted by Mr. Sex on Legs. I try to gauge his mood as he stalks toward me. Angry? Playful? Lustful? Ah! It's impossible to tell. I like your jeans, I murmur. He grins a disarming, wolfish grin that doesn't reach his eyes. Shit. He's still mad. He's wearing these to distract me. He halts in front of me, and I'm seared by his intensity. He gazes down, wide, unreadable eyes burning into mine. I swallow.
I understand you have issues, Mrs. Gray,
he says silkily, and he pulls something from the back pocket of his jeans. I can't tear my gaze from his, but hear him unfold a piece of paper. He holds it up, and, glancing briefly in its direction, I recognize my email. My gaze returns to his, as his eyes blaze bright with anger. Yes, I have issues, I whisper, feeling breathless. I need distance if we're going to discuss this, But before I can step back, he leans down and runs his nose along mine. My eyes flutter to a close as I welcome his unexpected, gentle touch.
"So do I,"
he whispers against my skin, and I open my eyes at his words. He straightens and gazes intently at me once more. "I think I'm familiar with your issues, Christian." My voice is wry, and he narrows his eyes, suppressing the amusement that sparks there momentarily. "Are we going to fight?" I take a precautionary step back. I must physically distance myself from him, from his smell, his look, his distracting body in those hot jeans. He frowns as I move away. "Why did you fly back from New York?" I whisper. "Let's get this over and done with."
"You know why."
His tone carries a warning ring. "Because I went out with Kate?"
"Because you went back on your word, and you defied me, putting yourself at unnecessary risk."
"Went back on my word? Is that how you see it?" I gasp, ignoring the rest of his sentence.
"Yes."
Holy crap. Talk about overreaction. I start to roll my eyes, but stop when he scowls at me. "Christian, I changed my mind," I explain slowly, patiently, as if he's a child. "I'm a woman. We're renowned for it. That's what we do." He blinks at me as if he doesn't comprehend this. "If I had thought for 1 minute that you would cancel your business trip..." Words fail me. I realize I don't know what to say. I am momentarily catapulted back to the argument over our vows. "I never promised to obey you, Christian." But I hold my tongue, because deep down, I'm glad he came back. In spite of his fury, I'm glad he's here in one piece, angry and smoldering in front of me.
"You changed your mind?"
He can't hide his contemptuous disbelief. "Yes."
"And you didn't think to call me?"
He glares at me, incredulous, before continuing.
"What's more, you left the security detail short here and put Ryan at risk."
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. "I should have called, but I didn't want to worry you. If I had, I'm sure you would have forbidden me to go, and I've missed Kate. I wanted to see her. Besides, it kept me out of the way when Jack was here. Ryan shouldn't have let him in." This is so confusing. If Ryan hadn't, Jack would still be at large. Christian's eyes gleam wildly, then shut, his face tightening as if in pain. "Oh, no." He shakes his head, and before I know it, he has folded me in his arms, pulling me hard against him.
"Oh, Anna,"
he whispers as he tightens his hold on me so that I can barely breathe.
"If something were to happen to you..."
His voice is barely a whisper. "It didn't," I manage to say.
"But it could have. I've died 1,000 deaths today thinking about what might have happened. I was so mad, Anna. Mad at you, mad at myself, mad at everyone. I can't remember being this angry, except..."
He stops again. "Except?" I prompt.
"Once, in your old apartment, when Layla was there."
"Oh, I don't want to think about that." "You were so cold this morning," I murmur. My voice cracks on the last word as I remember the hideous feeling of rejection in the shower. His hands move to the nape of my neck, loosening their grip on me, and I take a deep breath. He pulls my head back.
"I don't know how to deal with this anger. I don't think I want to hurt you,"
he says, his eyes wide and wary.
"This morning, I wanted to punish you badly, and..."
He stops, lost for words, I think, or too afraid to say them. "You were worried you'd hurt me?" I finish his sentence for him, not believing that he'd hurt me for a minute, but relieved, too. A small, vicious part of me feared it was because he didn't want me anymore.
"I didn't trust myself,"
he says quietly. Christian, I know you'd never hurt me. Not physically, anyway. I clasp his head between my hands.
Do you?
He asks, and there's skepticism in his voice. Yes, I knew what you said was an empty, idle threat. I know you're not going to beat the shit out of me.
I wanted to.
No, you didn't. You just thought you did.
I don't know if that's true,
he murmurs. Think about it, I urge, wrapping my arms around him once more and nuzzling his chest through the black t-shirt. About how you felt when I left. You've told me often enough what that did to you, how it altered your view of the world, of me. I know what you've given up for me. Think about how you felt about the cuff marks on our honeymoon. He stills, and I know he's processing this information. I tighten my arms around him, my hands on his back, feeling his taut, toned muscles beneath his t-shirt. Gradually, he relaxes as the tension slowly ebbs away. Is this what's been worrying him? That he'll hurt me? Why do I have more faith in him than he has in himself? I don't understand. Surely we've moved on. He's normally so strong, so in control. But without that, he's lost. Oh, 50-50-50. I'm sorry. He kisses my hair. I turn my face up to his, and his lips find mine, searching, taking, giving, begging. For what? I don't know. I just want to feel his mouth on mine, and I return his kiss passionately.
You have such faith in me,
he whispers after he breaks away. I do. He strokes my face with the backs of his knuckles and the tip of his thumb, gazing intently into my eyes. His anger has gone. My 50 is back from wherever he's been. It's good to see him. I glance up and smile shyly. Besides, I whisper, you don't have the paperwork. His mouth drops open in amused shock, and he clutches me to his chest again.
You're right. I don't.
He laughs. We stand in the middle of the great room, locked in our embrace, just holding each other.
Come to bed,
he whispers, after heaven knows how long. Oh, my. Christian, we need to talk.
Later,
he urges softly. Christian, please, talk to me. He sighs.
About what?
You know, you keep me in the dark.
I want to protect you.
I'm not a child.
I am fully aware of that, Mrs. Gray.
He runs his hands down my body and cups my backside. Flexing his hips, he presses his growing erection into me. Christian! I scold. Talk to me. He sighs once more with exasperation.
What do you want to know?
His voice is resigned as he releases me. I balk. I didn't mean you had to let me go. Taking my hand, he reaches down to pick up my email from the floor. Lots of things, I mutter, as I let him lead me to the couch.
Sit,
he orders. Some things never change, I muse, doing as I'm told. Christian sits beside me and, leaning forward, puts his head in his hands. Oh, no. Is this too hard for him? Then he sits up, rakes both hands through his hair, and turns to me, at once expectant and reconciled to his fate.
Ask me,
he says simply. Oh, well, that was easier than I thought. Why the additional security for your family?
Hyde was a threat to them.
How do you know?
From his computer. It held personal details about me and the rest of my family, especially Carrick.
Carrick? Why him?
I don't know yet. Let's go to bed.
Christian, tell me.
Tell you what?
You are so exasperating.
So are you.
He glares. You didn't ramp up the security when you first found out there was information about your family on the computer. So, what happened? Why now? Christian narrows his eyes at me.
I didn't know he was going to attempt to burn down my building, or...
He stops.
We thought it was an unwelcome obsession, but, you know.
He shrugs.
When you're in the public eye, people are interested. It was random stuff. News reports on me from when I was at Harvard, my rowing, my career, reports on Carrick, following his career, following my mom's career, and to some extent, Elliot and Mia.
How strange. You said, or, I prompt.
Or what?
You said, attempt to burn down my building, or, like you were going to say something else.
Are you hungry?
What? I frown at him, and my stomach rumbles.
Did you eat today?
His voice is sterner, and his eyes frost. I'm betrayed by my flush.
As I thought.
His voice is clipped.
You know how I feel about you not eating. Come,
he says. He stands and holds out his hand.
Let me feed you.
And he shifts again. This time his voice full of sensual promise. Feed me? I whisper, as everything south of my navel liquefies. Hell, this is such a typically mercurial diversion from what we've been discussing. Is that it? Is that all I'm getting out of him for now? Leading me over to the kitchen, Christian grabs a bar stool and hefts it around to the other side of the island.
Sit,
he says. Where's Mrs. Jones? I ask, noticing her absence for the first time as I perch on the stool.
I've given her and Taylor the night off.
Oh. Why? He gazes at me for a beat, and his arrogant amusement is back.
Because I can.
So you're going to cook? My voice betrays my incredulity.
O ye of little faith, Mrs. Gray. Close your eyes.
Wow, I thought we were going to have a full-on fight, and here we are, playing in the kitchen.
Close them,
he orders. I roll them first, then oblige.
Not good enough,
he mutters. I open one eye and see him take a plum-colored silk scarf out of the back pocket of his jeans. It matches my dress. Holy cow. I look quizzically at him. When did he get that?
Close,
he orders again.
No peeking.
You're going to blindfold me? I mutter, shocked. All of a sudden, I'm breathless.
Yes.
Christian! He places a finger upon my lips, silencing me. I want to talk.
We'll talk later. I want you to eat now. You said you were hungry.
He lightly kisses my lips. The silk of the scarf is soft against my eyelids as he ties it securely at the back of my head.
Can you see?
He asks. No, I mutter, figuratively rolling my eyes. He chuckles softly.
I can tell when you're rolling your eyes, and you know how that makes me feel.
I purse my lips. Can we just get this over and done with? I snap.
Such impatience, Mrs. Gray. So eager to talk.
His tone is playful. Yes!
I must feed you first,
he says, and brushes his lips over my temple, calming me instantly. Okay, have it your way. I resign myself to my fate and listen to his movements around the kitchen. The fridge door opens, and Christian places various dishes on the countertop behind me. He pads over to the microwave, pops something in, and turns it on. My curiosity is piqued. I hear the toaster lever drop, the turn of the control, and the quiet tick of the timer. Toast? Yes, I am eager to talk, I murmur, distracted. An assortment of exotic, spicy aromas fills the kitchen, and I shift in my chair.
Be still, Anastasia,
he murmurs, and he's close to me again.
I want you to behave,
he whispers.
Oh, my.
And don't bite your lip.
Gently, he tugs my bottom lip free of my teeth, and I can't help my smile. Next, I hear the sharp pop of a cork being drawn from a bottle, and the gentle glug of wine being poured into a glass. Then a moment of silence, followed by a quiet click and the soft hiss of white noise from their surround sound speakers as they come to life. A loud twang of a guitar begins a song I don't know. Christian turns the volume down to background level. A man starts to sing, his voice deep, low, and sexy.
A drink first, I think,
Christian whispers, diverting me from the song.
Head back.
I tip my head back.
Further,
he prompts. I oblige, and his lips are on mine. Cool, crisp wine flows into my mouth. I swallow reflexively. Oh, my. Memories flood back of not so long ago, me trussed up on my bed in Vancouver before I graduated, with a hot, angry Christian not appreciating my email. Have times changed? Not much, except now I recognize the wine. Christian's favorite, a Sancerre. I murmur in appreciation.
You like the wine?
He whispers, his breath warm on my cheek. I'm bathed in his proximity, his vitality, the heat radiating from his body, even though he doesn't touch me. Yes, I breathe.
More?
I always want more with you. I almost hear his grin. It makes me grin, too.
Mrs. Gray, are you flirting with me?
Yes. His wedding ring clinks against the glass as he takes another sip of wine. Now that is a sexy sound. This time, he pulls my head right back, cradling me. He kisses me once more, and greedily I swallow the wine he gives me. He smiles as he kisses me again.
Hungry?
I think we've already established that, Mr. Gray. The troubadour on the iPod is singing about wicked games. How apt. The microwave pings, and Christian releases me. I sit upright. The food smells spicy. Garlic, mint, oregano, rosemary, and lamb, I think. The door to the microwave opens, and the appetizing smell grows stronger.
Shit! Christ!
Christian curses, and a dish clatters onto the countertop. Oh, 50. You okay?
Yes,
he snaps, his voice tight. A moment later, he's standing beside me once more.
I just burn myself. Here.
He eases his index finger into my mouth.
Maybe you could suck it better.
Oh. Clasping his hand, I draw his finger slowly from my mouth. There, there, I soothe, and leaning forward, I blow, cooling his finger, then kiss it gently twice. He stops breathing. I reinsert it into my mouth and suck gently. He inhales sharply, and the sound travels straight to my groin. He tastes as delicious as ever, and I realize that this is his game, the slow seduction of his wife. I thought he was mad, and now? This man, my husband, is so confusing, but this is how I like him. Playful, fun, sexy as hell. He's given me some answers, but I'm greedy. I want more, but I want to play, too. After the anxiety and tension of today, and the nightmare of last night with Jack, this is a welcome diversion.
What are you thinking?
Christian murmurs, stopping my thoughts in their tracks as he pulls his finger out of my mouth. How mercurial you are. He stills beside me.
50 shades, baby,
he says eventually, and plants a tender kiss at the corner of my mouth. My 50 shades, I whisper. Grabbing his t-shirt, I pull him back to me.
Oh, no you don't, Mrs. Gray. No touching. Not yet.
He takes my hand, pries it off his t-shirt, and kisses each finger in turn.
"Sit up,"
he commands. I pout.
"I will spank you if you pout. Now open wide."
Oh, shit. I open my mouth, and he pops in a forkful of spicy hot lamb covered in a cool, minty yogurt sauce. Mmm, I chew.
"You like?"
"Yes." He makes an appreciative noise, and I know he's eating and enjoying, too.
"More?"
I nod. He gives me another forkful, and I chew it enthusiastically. He puts the fork down, and he tears bread, I think.
"Open,"
he orders. This time it's pita bread and hummus. I realize Mrs. Jones, or maybe even Christian, has been shopping at the delicatessen I discovered about 5 weeks ago, only 2 blocks from Escala. I chew gratefully. Christian, in a playful mood, increases my appetite.
"More?"
he asks. I nod. "More of everything, please. I'm starving." I hear his delighted grin. Slowly and patiently, he feeds me, occasionally kissing a morsel of food from the corner of my mouth, or wiping it off with his fingers. Intermittently, he offers me a sip of wine in his unique way.
"Open wide, then bite,"
he murmurs. I follow his command. One of my favorites, stuffed vine leaves. Even cold, they are delicious, though I prefer them heated up. But I don't want to risk Christian burning himself again. He feeds it to me slowly, and when I've finished, I lick his fingers clean.
"More?"
he asks, his voice low and husky. I shake my head. I'm full.
"Good," he whispers against my ear, "because it's time for my favorite course. You."
He scoops me up in his arms, surprising me so much I squeal. "Can I take the blindfold off?"
"No."
I almost pout, then remember his threat and think better of it.
"Playroom,"
he murmurs. Oh, I don't know if that's a good idea.
"You up for the challenge?"
he asks, and because he's used the word challenge, I can't say no. "Bring it on," I murmur. Desire and something that I don't want to name thrumming through my body. He carries me through the door, then up the stairs to the second floor.
"I think you've lost weight,"
he mutters disapprovingly. "I have?" Good. I remember his comment when we arrived back from our honeymoon and how much it smarted. Geez, was that just a week ago? Outside the playroom, he slides me down his body and sets me on my feet, but keeps his arm wrapped around my waist. Briskly, he unlocks the door. It always smells the same, polished wood and citrus. It's actually become a comforting smell. Releasing me, Christian turns me around until I'm facing away from him. He undoes the scarf, and I blink in the soft light. Gently, he pulls the hairpins from my updo, and my braid falls free. He grasps it and tugs gently so I have to step back against him.
"I have a plan,"
he whispers in my ear, sending delicious shivers down my spine. "I thought you might," I answer. He kisses me beneath my ear.
"Oh, Mrs. Gray, I do."
His tone is soft, mesmerizing. He tugs my braid to the side and plants a trail of soft kisses down my throat.
"First, we have to get you naked."
His voice hums low in his throat and resonates through my body. I want this, whatever he has planned. I want to connect the way we know how. He turns me around to face him. I glance down at his jeans, the top button still undone, and I can't help myself. I brush my index finger around the waistband, avoiding his t-shirt, feeling the hairs of his happy trail tickle my knuckle. He inhales sharply, and I look up to meet his eyes. I stop at the unfastened button. His eyes darken to a deeper gray. Oh, my. "You should keep these on," I whisper.
"I fully intend to, Anastasia."
And he moves, grabbing me with one hand on the back of my neck and the other around my backside. He pulls me against him, then his mouth is on mine, and he's kissing me,